You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquariums will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
Hello, tropical fish keepers. Happy New Year. Welcome to the very first episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2019. I'm your host, Aqua Alex Cardinelli, coming to you from my fish room right here in Springfield, Massachusetts. I hope 2019 is a great year for all the fish keepers out there. I hope you get the fish that you want in 2019, and I hope that your fish do well this year. So, to begin 2019, I have put together a wonderful show for you. Today, we're going to find out the best of last year for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. We're going to find out about the best of 2018 for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. So in other words, we're going to find out best of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2018. And I'm also going to chat a little bit about fish. Now for our best guest of the year, I'm going to play the special guest interview on the show. And for our best episode of the year, I'm going to replay that on today's show as well. And I'll also replay the best featured fish of the year as well. So you're going to hear three episodes in this one particular episode. It's going to be a great way to kickstart 2019. So I want to start the show off in a fun way. And I'm very excited to say that Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast has been placed in a top five aquarium podcast category. We came in number two, and I'm very honored and privileged to say that Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast is the second best aquarium keeping podcast out there. That is incredible. That means that tropical fish keepers are enjoying my shows, and that means that I'm doing a great job. I really love doing fish keeping podcasts, and it's something that I really enjoy. So thank you so much, everybody, for voting for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. It's an honor and a privilege, and hopefully in 2020 we'll be the number one aquarium podcast. So I figured that'd be a great way to start the show. Very excited. 2019 is going to be an epic year for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I've got some amazing special guests coming on the show. I've also got some live on location broadcasts that I'd like to do this year. And maybe this year we'll figure out how we could do live episodes, maybe. We'll see. But 2019 is going to be an epic year for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. This year, we're going to celebrate our 200th episode. We're going to celebrate our 250th and possibly our 300th as well. So we've got some milestones that we are going to celebrate in 2019. Now, it's going to be a few episodes this week for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. But the biggest episode of this month is going to come to us on January 25th. And that's going to be the Season 3 2019 premiere episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm going to have a couple special guests on that show. And it's going to be a fantastic, it's going to be a super fantastic episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. All right. The last thing I want to touch base on before we get into the Best of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast 2018 awards, I would like to mention my order from PredatoryFins.com. Now, Predatory Fins is a great online exotic tropical fish store that specializes in monster predatory fish and other fish as well. They have stingrays, red-tailed catfish, tiger shovelnose, other unique exotic catfish, and even datnoids, arowanas, albino silver arowanas, and things like that. So in December, I ordered 10 green Karasuki catfish, which are Hacer oreasis or black tip mouse catfish, and a vulture catfish. Unfortunately, upon arrival, 8 of the Hacer oreasis catfish died, but the vulture cat came in perfect condition, and the wonderful owner at Predatory Fins has offered to send me the remaining stock of Karasuki catfish for free. All I have to do is pay shipping, and I've already done that. I've placed another order with Predatory Fins. I have to say my remaining 2 Karasuki catfish and my vulture catfish are doing incredibly well. They are eating like pigs and they've grown in size. They are eating market shrimp, bloodworms, brine shrimp, and a good quality flake food. The vulture catfish is growing relatively quickly and he's getting some good size on him. Very happy with my order from Predatory Fins. Even more happier with the customer service that Rod has given me. Now, my first fish order of 2019 is from Predatory Fins, and it is for the following: an albino giant gourami to go with my red-tailed giant gourami. It's a baby tiger shovelnose, and it's been a long time since I've had the privilege of raising a small tiger shovelnose. It also includes a catfish I've never kept before, and that would be the giraffe catfish. I've always wanted a giraffe catfish, but I've never been able to have one. And last but not least, I'll be getting the replacement Karasuki catfish. So I'll do an episode review of my order sometime next week. I can't wait to do that. And we're going to have Rodrigo from Predatory Fins as a special guest here on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. And now it's time to find out the best of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2018. We're going to start with the best series of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2018. The best series of episodes for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2018 was Monster Fish Keepers. The best special fish keeping guest of 2018. I interviewed a lot of wonderful tropical fish keepers in 2018, and all of them were wonderful fish keeping guests. However, the winner showed a lot of unique knowledge in the tropical fish keeping hobby. He had some of the most knowledgeable information on fish that I've ever heard, and he has a love greater for the aquarium hobby than anyone else that I've known. So the best special fish keeping guest of 2018, the winner is Roy Williams. Now listen to Roy Williams' guest interview, the best guest of 2018, Roy Williams.
This episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex is brought to you by AquaPlenish, the first electronic water change system providing fish keepers with easier water changes. Check them out at www.aquaplenish.com for more info.
You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquarium will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast.
I'm your host, Aqua Alex Cardinelli, and I'm very excited because I have a special guest on our show today. We're going to have a wonderful guest on our show who loves giving speeches. This is going to be a show that I promise you as a fish keeper, you're going to enjoy this show very much. Our guest tonight is an aquatic technician at Aquarium Design Group, and he's the president of Greater Houston Aquarium Club. He is also known for giving speeches at many aquarium shows and events. He has a love and passion for tropical fish, and he's going to bring some excitement to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. It's been a little while since we've had a guest, and I figured that he would be a perfect guest for our show today. So, please give it up for fish keeper Mr. Roy Williams. Welcome to the show, Roy. How are you today?
Absolutely wonderful, Alex. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's an honor and a privilege to have you here on the show, and thank you so much for accepting the invite.
Anytime.
So to get us started, I'd like to find out about you as a fish keeper. When and how did you get into the fish keeping hobby?
Let's see. I think I was probably 7 or 8. Oh, so 35, 36 years ago, I asked for an aquarium. My cousin at the time had a couple of aquariums, and I asked for one for my birthday, and yeah, I started with my first little 10-gallon, and yeah, within 5 years, I think I had almost 20, 25 tanks. So, yeah, that was really my start quite a few years ago.
Nice. So you started big with 25 aquariums.
It was, you know, one at a time. Prior, I had done a lot of native collecting. I was always in a ditch or a creek, you know, pulling fish and, you know, cataloging like invertebrates or reptiles, snakes, lizards, amphibians, you know. If it was slimy or crawly or came out of a ditch, I was all about it.
So if you remember, what was your very first fish tank?
It had to have been a 10-gallon. I remember having tetras, but that's probably as good as I could get. Maybe glow lights. It was a long, long time ago. And I've had so many fish since then, I couldn't honestly tell you what my first fish was. I remember it was a while before I actually picked up any cichlids. So, if that tells you anything, you know, it had to have been tetras.
That's good to hear. So you started off with beginner fish, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, I had a love for a lot of exotics, you know, but at the time, they were outside of my price range. You know, I was mowing lawns to get money for just little fish. You know, as I grew into the hobby, I found really my strong passion was, you know, naked back gymnotiforms from South America. So that was where I started diving into, you know, with brown ghosts and black ghosts and glass knives. And then I started going into centipede knives and mouse knives. And beyond that, really, it was hard to get any of the gymnotids from South America at that time, at least for me.
Oh, nice. So it sounds like in the future we could do a show on the South American knives, since you sound like you're very knowledgeable on them.
Oh, I'd love to. Honestly, you know, I have evolved as a hobbyist over the years, and those fish species or that groups that I naturally didn't find a passion for, I can find a passion for. You know, it takes many years, but over the years, you know, those things that I go, I'm never going to have Danios. And then all of a sudden you find it, you know, that you've got this really cool fish and you find what really sparks it within you. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, I'm not huge into killifish. And then all of a sudden you find some stuff and you get passionate about it. You know, I can't think of a group of fish that I'm not really, that I haven't found something that I can take away from.
That's awesome to hear. So, personally speaking, what do you like best as a fish keeper?
So, I think, you know, cracking this idealistic world, we kind of imagine, we've got this idea, this utopian, perfect aquarium that is, looks exactly like this stream and wherever, you know, that arguably is not what we probably have in our tank. It's much more well-groomed and much clearer than wherever they came from. But I think, you know, it's this magical mixture of chemistry and light science and bacterias and feeding and temp and care. That's just a really unique hobby.
I agree with you. I think the fish keeping hobby is one of the best hobbies in the world, and it's a very popular hobby. Now more and more young people are getting involved in it, and I think it's great.
I definitely agree, and I mean, you know, pushing the boundaries of arguably what even falls under the aegis of our hobby. You know, from paludariums to cold water tanks to planted tanks, both high and low tech, to reef tanks to cold reef tanks. You know, there's such a wide diversity of things within the hobby that it's just, there's a lot to it.
I agree 100% with you. So what kind of tropical fish are you keeping now?
Let's see. I think that me and the wife have 14, 15 aquariums at the house. So we go from a South American Tapajos biotope to kind of a large freshwater pupper, low-tech planted. We've got a couple of reefs and a large amount of small shrimp and nano fish tanks.
Nice. So you have quite a selection. So in your Tapajos tank, do you have any Geophagus redheads?
I do. We actually started off with six, and they've slowly kind of dwindled down in number, but I've kept them. It was a friend that had originally started that colony, and they've done fairly well. It's just, I think that they're kind of hitting that old age point. You know, we got them at an older age, and you know, have continued them along. But I've been enjoying kind of crafting and adding to that tank. You know, I have, you know, some Synaptolemus. We've got some nice red-spotted Copiinas, some driftwood cats, a handful of banjos, a couple of nice Lorisards.
Sounds like an awesome tank.
Yeah, you know, I've been working on a school of red-tail Heniotis. They're just a little bit persnickety.
Oh, nice. Those are beautiful. They remind me of a smaller version of a flat-tail Proxolotus.
Oh, definitely. And honestly, for a schooling fish, they're just terrific, you know, especially for like a mid-sized tank. I couldn't get away with, like, some rummy nose tetras in there. The geos would probably snack them up. So you need something a little bit beefier. And they tend to school fairly well. It's in a big, nice 110 tall, so it gives me a lot of room there.
That's true. So what are your favorite fish?
Really, I mean, it's across the board. I find fish that I love across the world, whether it is checkerboard dichrosis from South America to neat oddball pike carassins from Africa to awesome royal trout Danios beruleus out of northern India to amazing ornate rainbows out of Australia. I can find something in any area that I just can fall in love with.
Nice. So you have a nice selection of favorite fish. You're just like me. You have more than one favorite fish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've definitely got my loves in certain areas, but, yeah, it just depends on what kind of tank and what kind of feeling. I don't know. I also tend to love big, mean, ugly brown fish. You know, I know that me and the wife always laugh. If I head out and get what I want at a store, it's usually some mean, ugly brown thing that can't tolerate any tank mates.
Like gold eyes and stuff like that.
Even a lot of, like, Goodyeds. I have this really strong love for a lot of the Native American, like, Central American Goodyeds. You know, the Mexican government really doesn't have the capabilities to ensure and safeguard those species, so they oftentimes get overlooked, and they're disappearing at an alarming rate. And really, we're the only people that can kind of safeguard them. So we really promote keeping those types of fish a lot just one tank. You know, if you've got 15 tanks, a lot one to a fish that you might make the difference, whether that fish survives to the next century or not.
Very good point there. So I know that you work as an aquatic technician at Aquarium Design Group. So what is an aquatic technician? In other words, what do you do at Aquarium Design Group?
So Aquarium Design Group was a business out of Houston formed by Jeff and Mike Sinsky, the two brothers. They're internationally renowned aquascapers. They lead our American aquascaping team. They are connected with a lot of the movers and shakers in the aquascaping community across the world and are highly regarded. We are lucky to have them here in Houston, and I got on board as an aquatic technician. Arguably, my strong suit is definitely in freshwater, especially freshwater biotope, kind of difficult freshwater aquariums. But I can really handle salt, reef, whatever. As far as my job, I am a maintenance technician. So usually I work with a client and kind of determine what direction they want in an aquarium, and I kind of guide them and assist them in choosing species that will achieve the effects that they want. Then I work on, as far as like maintaining the fish health, diagnosing illnesses, treating tanks, filtration. Pretty much I care for the aquarium, you know, and I just kind of guide them on feeding and on proper care, husbandry of the fish. a lot of our clients, this is their initial first tank, and some of them can range from 200 gallons to 800 to over 1,200 gallons. And that's a very big tank for an initial hobbyist to understand water changes in chemistry and how to handle that. And basically, that's what we do every day. You know, we end up handling 4 to 8 aquariums a day and just keeping them clean and looking top notch.
Oh, nice. So something you do with some huge tanks. Do they have a lot of monster fish in them, or does it vary?
It just depends. You know, honestly, one of my big loves in a very big tank is going with small fish and going with a huge school. Very rarely do you see a school of 400 to 500 cardinal tetras, and seeing their behaviors in schools that large is just fascinating. We do have a few monster fish tanks, you know, with arowanas or, you know, large datinoids. We've got a datinoid out in the field that I think is pushing about 25 years. And it's impressive to see them at that size. But this is, again, in a 3,500-gallon display tank, so.
No,
very large.
Aquascaping? Oh, sorry.
Yes, yeah. Aquascaping, you know, generally we kind of help guide the client and talk about what types of wood, rock, substrate, and softscape that really you can utilize for to achieve the best result.
Now,
let's see. Many of our accounts would be, you know, more of a traditional aquarium where they're more keen on, like, you know, the bright cichlids of Malawi, or they want sort of a traditional geophagus angelfish aquarium with a handful of larger tetras to kind of provide that Amazonian look. But occasionally we get some challenging aquariums. One that I worked on today is a 700-gallon. The gentleman grew up in West Africa, and he actually kind of pursued, he ended up moving away at probably around 10. And when he came to our shop and started talking with us about his vision, his idea was remembering those fish as a child. So literally we set him up a 700-gallon West African biotope that probably rivals any zoo in this country.
Oh, nice. That's incredible. Sounds like you have one hell of an awesome job.
It is a fun job. I honestly can tell you that I've worked many a job. This is definitely not, this is so much better. It's so fulfilling to actually do what you're passionate about and to speak with, you know, the clients, and really they feed off of your passion. They can see it, and, you know, kind of expressing that it's a very rewarding job.
It sounds like it's a job that I'd love to have.
Hey, next time that you're in Houston, swing by. We'd love to meet you, and I'll show you around.
That sounds great. I'd love to come by and see the faculty and all the wonderful fish and fish tanks you have.
But that's basically, you know, we do have a small retail element. Most of our fish tend to be kind of rare things that we are hunting down either for clients or for our store. We generally don't stock a whole lot of bread and butter stuff, so, you know, you're more likely to find endangered West African riverine and odd rainbow fish and to, you know, driftwood catfish. There's just a little for everybody.
That's great to hear. I love the rare and exotic tropical fish because they have interesting traits and stuff.
Indeed. Indeed.
So I know you're also president of the Greater Houston Aquarium Club. So what do you do as president for the Greater Houston Aquarium Club?
Well, I work with our four officers. We've been around, we'll be going on our 12th year. We're the only fish club in Houston that meets monthly, and all of our meetings are free. We try to inform and educate our city and arguably anybody that's on our group. Because we always try to videotape our meetings and post them. So that way everyone can actually experience the meeting, whether or not you're there or not. We also just promote good husbandry practices. We've got about 4,000 members on our online group, and we want it to be a positive place where people are not looked down upon or ridiculed over certain tank ideas. There can be a bit of snobbery in a lot of some of the groups. And we try to honestly, you know, address it and address our hobby with a scientific approach that it is achievable to do almost anything depending on the level of commitment that you're willing to give. And researching and teaching others how to properly research is an important step that I think oftentimes people are not aware how to properly do.
I agree 100% with you on that, and if I lived in Houston, I'd definitely join that club because it sounds like a wonderful aquarium club.
Well, honestly, anyone is welcome to join. You don't have to be from Houston. We have international members from all across the planet. They honestly love our club just because of the information. We have our own personal generated information. I try to do an oddball fish and actually kind of walk people through where that fish comes from and where it's found. And then kind of discuss what makes it so unique. And I do that every Monday. And oftentimes it gets shared across the planet.
That's awesome. So what are some things for fish keepers to do as a member of Houston Aquarium Club? Like, for example, do you guys do, like, fish store trips or aquarium visits?
Generally speaking, we have once a month meetings. They're always at our sponsor stores. Our sponsor stores promote the hobby. They support us. They give all of our members discounts. Our club is free of charge. It costs nothing. Joining the Facebook is the entire cost of the club. We have monthly meetings. Usually they're 2 to 3 months in advance so that everyone knows the topic, but we jump around topics from wild bettas to non-cichlids of Lake Tanganyika to rainbow fish and other atherinids to water chemistry to filtration to... We'll kind of cover all sorts of different topics, and honestly, we've been doing them for a good little while. We have covered almost everything. Once a year, we do a wild collection trip. I think this is the 6th year. We just went to Galveston and collected out in Galveston Island State Park, both on the ocean side and the bay side. And we've gone freshwater collecting all over Houston. It's really interesting to see such a big metropolitan area, yet finding small aquarium fish that people recognize. I couldn't tell you how many sailfin mollies we pulled out last year. There had to have been, 200, 300 of them. And people were just amazed. I had a gentleman that is actually in Oslo, Norway, that collected a Spring Texas biotope, and he has it currently set up in Oslo, Norway.
Nice. So you've got fish keepers from everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. And we also have a fairly active Breeders' Award point. Breeders Award Program, in which we classify different fish on difficulty, and you can kind of develop breeding status, and you collect points. We try to do a heavy focus on endangered or CITES listed fish so that we can pass them out. Oftentimes, whenever you submit small amounts of fry, and those actually get auctioned. That's kind of what pays for the club. And it gets rare fish that need homes into younger aquarist hands that they might not have been able to ever afford to get that fish.
That's awesome. So right now we're going to go ahead and take a short intermission. During this intermission, we're going to hear some show announcements for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Coming up next is the fun part of the show. Roy is going to give us a lecture on a couple of wonderful topics, and I promise you're going to love these lectures because they're very unorthodox, but they're also very interesting. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. On Friday, August 3rd, 2018, join Aqua Alex as he proudly celebrates his first year on Buzzsprout. It's time to slam the aquarium hobby on August 3rd as Aqua Slam makes its yearly debut, in its inaugural debut. On this show, there's going to be special guests, wonderful fish keeping topics, music, entertainment, and much more. African cichlid guru Donovan Barger kicks off the show to talk about African cichlids in Frontosia. Our main event guest is Sam Garcia Jr., who's going to talk about Central American cichlids, monster fish, and crown roaches. Our topics include indoor DIY goldfish ponds, fish native to the United States of America, best fish keeping YouTube channel, thoughts on hybrid fish, and much more. Plus, music, entertainment, and more. So be sure to join AquaSlam on Friday, August 3rd, 2018, right here on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Wednesday, August 15th, 2018, is going to be a historic day for yours truly, Aqua Alex. I will be turning 25 on August 15th. To celebrate my 25th birthday, I'm going to be doing a very special episode. I'm going to have a few special guests on the show to talk about tropical fish, and I'm going to talk about my favorite tropical fish. So join me on August 15th to celebrate my 25th birthday. Fish keepers, are you ready? Saturday, August 25th, 2018 is our next Fish Keepers Open Forum Q&A with Aqua Alice. Do you have a tropical fish question? Do you have a freshwater fish question or a saltwater fish question? Wait, I'll answer them all. Submit your questions to alexgoyankeesornelly19@gmail.com. You can submit a text question or a spoken audio question. Again, send your questions to alexgoyankeesornelly19@gmail.com. If you're going to submit a spoken audio question, use the voice recorder on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. Record your questions and your name and send them to alexgoyankeesornelly19@gmail.com. I look forward to answering your tropical fish questions on Saturday, August 25th, 2018.
Aquaplenish provides aquarists with a whole new point of view on water changes. Make your aquarium water changes easier with an Aquaplenish electronic water changer. The innovative Aquaplenish water changer pre-treats water, monitors temperature, and replenishes your aquarium water with a push of a button. It also provides a power boost to your siphon gravel vacuum. 100% pre-treat, monitor, and replenish your aquarium with the push of a button. Pre-treated water provides the best quality water to replenish aquariums. The Aquaplenish water changer is the first retail product that provides an easy solution to pre-treat new aquarium water. For more information, visit www.aquaplenish.com. Purchase one at a special discounted price. Get $20 off an Aquaplenish electronic water change system by using the discount code AquaAlex2018. Aquaplenish.com. Go get yours today.
We're back here on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, and today we have a wonderful special guest, the knowledgeable fish keeper, Roy Williams, and now we're going to get into the fun part of the show. And Roy is known for giving lectures and speeches in the aquarium hobby. Now, off microphone, you have told me what your favorite lectures are, so I'm going to give you the floor to discuss them here, if you don't mind.
Hey, by all means, honestly, I can probably talk about whatever, but you shoot me some topics, and I'll give you what I know.
I know earlier on the show you mentioned the non-cichlid linked Tanganyikan biotopes and the wild betta biotopes, so I'll have you start with those two.
All right, so I think that oftentimes when we approach the rift lakes, I see a lot of hobbyists approach the rift lakes. They oftentimes will choose Malawi, Tanganyika, Victoria, or even one of the odder ones like Natron. They focus solely on the cichlids and are unaware of just the plethora of hobby fish that we see regularly that are found within those lakes and that hail from those lakes, or even what can be found if one goes hunting. Lake Tanganyika is probably the most diverse, but I think that Lake Malawi is a good second. Inside of Lake Tanganyika, you have a lamp eye species. The Tanganyikan killifish is just an outrageously beautiful fish. Distichotis and some of the tetras are some that most people are not expecting to see. You know, you look at like a Lusosa or a Sexbathiatis, even something like a Bullinger's featherfin tetra is amazing. And in a large Tanganyikan display can just be jaw-dropping because people are not expecting to see a huge school of tetras in that tank. They're expecting to see Cyprochromis. They're expecting to see frontosas, not expecting to see tetras. Oftentimes we utilize lorisards in the tank to clean up algae. That's just our go-to. But there's a plethora of gara species, large garas, that are found natively within the lake and would achieve the same result. Now you're going to have to watch for its aggression, but the purple labio is just a gorgeous species that I think should be noted. The harlequin labio is another that really is a nice fish that would fit a bit more biotopically with that lake. The large puffer, the mabu, is found within the lake. The ornate bicker is found within Lake Tanganyika. There are so many barbs and saprinids that it's just crazy. And we're finally, initially way back in the hobby, we saw a few of them, but we're finally starting to see that secondary renaissance of a lot of the African barbs coming back into the hobby, and they might be a little pricey, but they'd be well worth the time and the effort. The amount of synodontists within Lake Tanganyika is just daunting. I mean, choosing one or two would be a terrific addition, and they can really be the crown jewel. If you were to get a granulosis, one of the white seam synodonts, I mean, it really remakes what you imagine that you know about synodontists. Even if you're familiar with a lot of the petricholas or the multipunctatus in the lake that we're more accustomed to seeing. The mastus and bellids are just fascinating. And we see more and more of those every year. Really, they can set off a tank. And arguably, even some of the non-vertebrate species, such as the Tanganyikan crabs, they can be a little bit aggressive towards anything on the bottom, and they can clear almost 6 inches. Along with some of the macrobranchiums, the mori is a shrimp that's found from there, and I've actually seen that on a few lists. They're a little pricey, but imagining a Tanganyikan shrimp tank is just a cool thought. Really, Tanganyika has such a wide diversity of fish that to limit ourselves simply just to cichlids seems a travesty. Hopefully that made sense.
It made a lot of sense, and I agree with you. There's a lot of species from Africa that are definitely intriguing, and one of them that you mentioned, one of my personal favorite fish, the Oronite biker, or however you want to pronounce it, the Oronite polypterus, they're beautiful, and there's a wide variety of polypterus species from Africa as well.
Indeed. I think that they're a terrific species. Choosing the correct tank mates with them, it can be a challenge, but they are a really neat fish. And really, Tanganyika, we are beginning to grasp a lot more of the speciation that occurs within the lake, especially in regards to cichlids. But I think that there's a huge amount of ground to still cover. I mean, you look at something like our Alphalampologus species, Sumbu, the Sumbu dwarf, and arguably we suspect that that is going to be a third or a fourth species within the Alphalampologine tribe. You look at even the Frontosa. Back in 2000, we had one species, and now we are at two and possibly a third. There's a good chance that Siphotilapia species north, the Burundi group, is a third species to front.
I love Frontosa. They're one of my favorite Africans.
Oh, they're definitely the big gentle giants.
I love when they get older. They're gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you know, between Tropius, Petrochroma, you know, the Petros, you've got focus tanks with feather fins, you've got shell dwellers, you've got a rock dweller tank, you've got a kind of shallow water Eretmodus or, like, goby tank. And you even get into some of the Congo riverine species where you've got lamprologines that have fallen out of Tanganyika and evolved to adapt to the Congo River Basin. And seeing how those fish evolved and why they're different than the lake-dwelling species that we're used to is just absolutely amazing. the only blind cichlid is actually a lamprologine that's from the deep areas of the Congo River.
Nice. That's interesting to hear. So,
go ahead.
I was gonna ask if you would like to talk about the wild betta biotope.
Yeah. So, bettas is a huge group. Oftentimes, when individuals are new to the hobby, they're much more familiar with their ornamental bettas. You know what we see at Petco and PetSmart and our big box stores, and they come in a little cup, and they're magical creatures that are brightly colored and long finned, and they look awesome, and they are. Don't get me wrong, but bettas are a group that is disappearing very fast. Currently, I think that we're at 90-something species with possibly up to 120 that we're kind of in the works for. Many of them are disappearing very, very rapidly. With a lot of the strip farming and palm oil plantations, they're just shredding the forest. And these little fish that eke out their way in a tiny little creek get demolished. So I think conservation and focusing on understanding the betta and how it became what we're used to. The bettas are really grouped into kind of tribes or whatever, or however you want to group them. They have different groupings. And the different species share certain similarities and breeding behaviors, and are oftentimes share ecological niches and evolutionary patterns. We're used to bettas that are bubble nesters, but there are bettas that are mouth brooders, like everything within that group. You know, the Unimaculata group, you know, the from the gladiators to the macrostomas, those are all mouth brooding species. To some of the smaller casina groups, they're just a wide, diverse group. Most of the bettas are found in really soft water, ridiculously soft water, very low pH. And we oftentimes want to transfer them and go, how do they adapt to my pH? And they don't. They do very poorly. So usually achieving that 3 to 4 pH can be difficult for a lot of hobbyists unless they understand the water chemistry that is needed to approach that. A lot of individuals imagine that our nitrogen cycle continues to function, and it changes. And knowing those changes and anticipating those changes can be really important in succeeding with a low pH tank. Below a 6, bacteria no longer really function effectively. So there is no nitrogen cycle. You see no nitrites. You see no nitrates. They are not there. They do not exist. They only exist prior to that point, and then it's held in stasis. They don't go anywhere. So with a lower pH setting, your ammonia, toxic ammonia, is based upon pH, and it's based on temperature. There's big, huge charts that I can show you online, but if you look up ammonia toxicity, you'll usually find them. the higher the pH, the more of your ammonia is considered toxic ammonia. There's a ratio that actually corresponds to whatever water you have. So you can just list off your amount of ammonia that you're getting on an ammonia test kit. Ammonia test kits don't differentiate between toxic ammonia and ammonium, which is the non-toxic form. And the higher the pH is, the more that all of that ammonia is harmful ammonia, not ammonium. The lower the pH is, the more it is ammonium, so it actually is not the toxic form. Below a 6, that's all that you see is ammonium. Plants can take it up, and you treat ammonium just as you would nitrates, and you basically water change based on ammonium as opposed to nitrate readings. It's just a different kind of approach to the hobby, and if you're not aware of that and you drop your pH of your tank down to a 4, all of a sudden you start getting a ridiculous ammonia reading and you go, oh my God, and you start pouring in distilled water or RO water to kind of do a water change. Remember that as you're pouring that water in, that water is a pH 7, right? Because pure water is pH 7. It hasn't been acidified yet. So if you were doing a water change and you're dumping in 7, then you're actually toxifying the harmless ammonia that's in the tank, and it can actually cause it to crash. So when approaching a wild betta tank, it's important to know your water chemistry. Know it really well and think through all your decisions. Hopefully that makes sense.
That was some wonderful information on wild bettas. I learned a lot about them.
Honestly, they're a delightful fish, very akin to killifish, but if you're looking for something that can be a real gem inside of a small tank, if you only have a 10-gallon in your house, you know, going out and hunting down a nice pair of Smyrigna or whatever, you know, some coccinas, it can be a really delightful fish. And know that breeding those fish and keeping and perpetuating them is a real challenge. I mean, it's a challenge for an advanced hobbyist. And by doing that and passing that information on to younger hobbyists and sharing those fry and getting a population of macrostomas in Houston, should those fish ever disappear, we still have them. We've got a little arc of macrostomas, and we're accomplished at breeding them. They won't disappear off the planet.
That's very true. So, we had a great show tonight. You did a great job, Roy.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it immensely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate what you do. I know it is a challenge to kind of get everything together and make this happen. And sharing it with the world, that's an amazing job, Alex. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We salute you.
I'll have you on once a month if you're able to do that.
Hey, well, you know, I tell you what, if we can catch our schedules and make them match, I am all happy for that.
Awesome. I think you'd be a great regular guest, and I'm sure my listeners would appreciate having you on.
Oh, yeah, and honestly, you know, if anybody would like to hear about whatever, just, you know, shoot Alex a message and give him a nice list of stuff to ask me about.
Awesome. Sounds great. So I want to thank you so much for being here tonight, and I'll definitely have you on again in a couple of weeks.
All right, that sounds great, Alex. You have a terrific afternoon, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with y'all.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
All right, thank you, Alex.
You're welcome. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Mr. Roy Williams, and I hope you enjoyed today's show. Enjoy the aquarium hobby, and until the next episode, thank you for listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast.
You have been listening to Aqua Alex on the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Come swimming back to the next episode for more tropical fish chat and information on keeping your fish happy and healthy. Check out Aqua Alex on the following social media platforms: Facebook under the name Alex Cardinale, Twitter at Alex Cardinale 1, YouTube channel Exotic Monster Fish Keeper 1993, and Instagram The Real Alex Cardinale.
The best featured fish of 2018. The best featured fish of 2018 on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, Senegal Biker, Polypterus senegalis. Let's learn how to keep the Senegal Biker once again.
You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquariums will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
Hello, tropical fish keepers. Welcome to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm your host, Aqua Alex Cardinale, coming to you from my fish room right here in Springfield, Massachusetts. Well, it's a new week. It's the start of a new week, and I would like to wish all of you fish keepers a good week. With it being the beginning of a new week, it's time for Fish of the Week. I want to begin today's show by apologizing for missing a few weeks for Fish of the Week this month. I've been incredibly busy, so I haven't had the time to record many shows, but we're back, and Fish of the Week is back right now. Are you looking for a fish that looks like an eel? Are you looking for a fish that will add personality to the bottom of your aquarium? Looking for the perfect bottom dweller? In fact, the fish I'm going to be talking about today is often called and sold as a dinosaur eel. It's a fitting name because this fish is also prehistoric and lived in the dinosaur era and is still living today. This fish is related to the lungfish. It's the lungfish cousin. It's a member of the Polypterus family. Get used to the species Polypterus. It's my favorite African species, and over the next few months, I'll be talking about them, and various species of Polypterus will be Fish of the Week. Our Fish of the Week this week is the Senegal Biker, aka Polypterus senegalis. The Senegal Biker comes in two varieties. The original Senegal Biker, which you would find in the wild, is a solid gray fish. Then there is an albino version that is a gorgeous yellowish orange to white coloration. I personally adore the albino bikers. They are just too damn cute. I have an albino Senegal Biker, and he is literally one of my favorite fish in my aquarium. I'll explain that to you in a few moments. So here's what's planned for the show. I'm going to discuss why I love Senegal Bikers, and I'm going to give you information on Senegal Bikers and tips for keeping and raising Senegal Bikers. So let's get started right now. Why I love Senegal Bikers and why my albino biker is one of my favorite fish. Active. They are one of the most active Polypterus species. You'll see them swimming from the top to the bottom of the aquarium in search of food.
easy to feed. My albino biker eats just about anything. Senegal bikers will eat just about anything. They're really easy to feed. They'll eat market shrimp, pellets, basically anything you feed. Funny fish. These are very funny fish. My albino biker always finds a funny place to hide. For example, he'll sit on top of aquarium plants and hide that way, or he'll hide behind the filter. Either way, it's a very funny way for a fish to hide. And I love that the Senegal biker grows to a perfect size. Not too big, but not small. That's why I love Senegal bikers and why my albino biker is one of my favorite fish. Now on to some information on the Senegal biker. An incredibly hardy nocturnal species with very poor vision, the Senegal biker relies on its excellent sense of smell to locate food. This species, along with others of its genus, are some of the last surviving relatives of very ancient species. Fossils of earlier relatives have been found that date back to the Triassic period, which occurred during the early development of the dinosaurs more than 200 million years ago. They have some interesting adaptations. The swim bladder is divided into two parts, of which the right-hand section is considerably larger. This functions as an accessory breathing organ and means the fish can survive out of water for some time, provided it is kept moist. Young bikers have amphibian-like external gills, which are lost as fish matures. This, coupled with their nocturnal mode of hunting, in which they emerge from their daytime refuges to hunt inverts and small fish in shallow water, clearly exhibit the link these species form between fish and amphibians. Yes, that's right, folks. Young bikers look like amphibians. This is one of the more peaceful and active species of Polypterus and is recommended for beginners with these fish. It is very long-lived, and individuals have been known to survive for over 30 years in aquariums. In the wild, this species is more widespread than any other biker and occurs in no less than 26 countries in Africa, including Egypt, Cameroon, Ethiopia, Kenya, Malawi, Ivory Coast, Tanzania, Nigeria, Senegal, and others. It is usually found in shallow, slow-moving waters of swamps, marshes, and freshwater lagoons. Full-grown size. It is reported that Senegal bikers can grow up to 20 inches. However, I personally would say 12 to 16 inches is a reliable size to expect a Senegal biker to grow. They are slow-growing, but they do get good size. So a tank size for a Senegal biker, I would say 55 gallons and up is a good starting point. A perfect size aquarium for a Senegal biker would be a 75 gallon aquarium. Floor space is more important than depth with this species. A soft substrate with pieces of driftwood and smooth rocks arranged to form hiding places is ideal. Plants are not essential, but are appreciated. The aquarium should have a tight-fitting cover, as it is an excellent escape artist. Temperature, 75 to 82 degrees Fahrenheit. pH, 6.2 to 7.8. Feeding, Senegal bikers are a predatory fish, so they need predatory foods. Meaty foods such as prawn and whitefish will be readily accepted. Also, live or frozen foods such as bloodworms and brine shrimp will be loved. Senegal bikers will also sometimes accept good quality cichlid pellets. take mates. Do not keep with fish small enough to be eaten. The Senegal biker will eat any fish that can fit in its mouth. Do not house with small tetras or anything small enough to be eaten. Suitable tank mates include other polypterous species. So yes, you can keep Senegal bikers with other polypterous. Cynodontis catfish, datnoids, knifefish, larger Cenopoma species, medium to large cherisins, and African butterfly fish. Basically, anything that grows large enough not to be eaten is a good tank mate for Senegal bikers. You need to keep a tight lid on your aquarium as polypterous can escape. Price range for a Senegal biker. You can expect to pay anywhere from $10 to $20 for a Senegal biker. Alright, let's go over some information on the Senegal biker. Summary on Senegal bikers. Senegal bikers come from several countries in Africa, including Senegal, Kenya, Cameroon, and more. Senegal bikers can grow up to 16 inches. Therefore, they require a tank size 55 gallons and up, with a 75-gallon aquarium being perfect. Senegal bikers are predatory fish, means they have to have predatory foods. You can feed them things like prawn, market shrimp, krill, bloodworms, brine shrimp, and even pellets. Well, we've reached the end of our show. That is information on the Polypterus senegalis, the Senegal biker. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you learned a lot about the Senegal biker. Trust me, if you don't have a Senegal biker in your aquarium, you're missing out on personality. I highly recommend adding a Senegal biker to your aquarium, especially an albino one. The albino Senegal bikers are absolutely gorgeous. If you have any questions on Senegal biker, please post them on our Facebook page, The Aquarium Network, or email me, alexgoyankeescardinelli19@gmail.com. With that being said, get ready for next week's Fish of the Week. Next week, I'm going to talk about the Wauru cichlid, king of DIY, Wauru Joey's favorite fish. Next week, I'll talk about Wauru cichlids. With that being said, thank you for listening to this episode of the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I hope you learned a lot about Senegal bikers, and go out and get one if you don't have one already. If you have a Senegal biker, enjoy your Senegal biker, and thank you for listening to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Enjoy the fish keeping hobby, and I'll see you on the next episode of AHP. Roll the outro. Coming up this week on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, we will be celebrating our 150th episode. For the first time ever, Aqua Alex is going to be discussing freshwater stingrays. Joining Aqua Alex on the show to discuss freshwater stingrays is freshwater stingray keeper Marty Jandira. Marty keeps, breeds, and raises freshwater stingrays. So he's going to share his knowledge and expertise on freshwater stingrays. Plus, who will be the other special guest? And will there be three special guests? Find out this week on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast as we crush 150 episodes. Aqua Alex wants your answers, fish keepers. Answer Aqua Alex's questions for the September 25th Fish Keepers Open Forum Q&A. Here are the questions Aqua Alex is asking you. What is your favorite tropical fish species? Freshwater or saltwater? Which one is the best to you and why? If you could have a dream tank, what size would it be and what livestock would go in it? Email your answers to alexgoyankeescardinelli19@gmail.com or use a voice recorder on your phone, tablet, or computer and send the MP3 or WAVE voice recording to AlexGoYankeesCardinelli19@gmail.com. Plus, start submitting your fish-keeping questions, any freshwater or saltwater questions, to AlexGoYankeesCardinelli19@gmail.com or post them on our fan page on Facebook, The Aquarium Network. I'll see you next month, September 25th, on the Fish Keepers Q&A Open Forum.
You have been listening to Aqua Alex on the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Come swimming back to the next episode for more tropical fish chat and information on keeping your fish happy and healthy. Check out Aqua Alex on the following social media platforms. Facebook under the name Alex Cardinelli. Twitter at Alex Cardinelli 1. YouTube channel Exotic Monster Fish Keeper 1993. And Instagram, The Real Alex Cardinelli.
Let's find out which episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2018 was the best episode. Best Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast episode of 2018. School of Fish, Inc. On Location Broadcast. This was a very fun episode for me to do personally, as it was my only on-location broadcast of the year. School of Fish just recently moved to the Eastfield Mall at the time of this broadcast. They were in their new location inside the Eastfield Mall at the time of this broadcast, and I wanted to interview the owner, Dave, and find out why he moved to the Eastfield Mall. Anyway, let's take a listen to the best episode of 2018, School of Fish, Inc. On Location Broadcast. By the way, School of Fish, Inc. is located in the Eastfield Mall in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex is brought to you by AquaPlenish, the first electronic water change system providing fish keepers with easier water changes. Check them out at www.aquaplenish.com for more info.
In a world filled with aquariums and aquarists, there is only one, Aqua Alex. That means there is only one aquarium podcast that focuses on the fish keepers and shares the passion of the aquarium hobby. Welcome to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Everything from freshwater to saltwater aquariums will be discussed. Let's swim to the show right now. From Springfield, Mass., right next to his Oscar Cichlid and Silver Arowana Aquarium, is your host, Aqua Alex.
Hello, tropical fish keepers. Welcome to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Very excited today because I present to you my very first on-location broadcast, and I'm broadcasting from the all-new School of Fish, Inc. inside the Eastfield Mall on Boston Road in Springfield, Massachusetts. And today I have one of my favorite fish-keeping people with me, the owner of School of Fish, Inc., Dave. Let's please welcome Dave to the show. Dave, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very well, Alex. Thank you for coming in and talking with me today.
I'm very honored, and I was very excited when you agreed to do the show, and I figured it would be a great way to promote the new location. So how long have you been dealing with tropical fish business?
Business-wise, I've been in it since I was about 14. I really grew up with it. My grandparents owned and operated James Tropical Fish in Indian Orchard here since about 1964. So I literally have always been involved one way or another in aquarium keeping.
That's awesome. As a tropical fish hobbyist yourself, does working with tropical fish every day professionally impact how you view the aquarium hobby personally?
Yes, it does, because it exposes me to all aspects, not just the aspects that I might personally be most interested in as a hobbyist, but by being a professional, I really need to pay attention to all aspects of the aquarium hobby, both in freshwater and marine, and in working in the industry, really get exposed to how things work and why things work the way that they do. And when it comes to importation and breeding of fish, when it comes to different supplies and availability of those supplies, and why things get marketed and how they work and how they get distributed throughout the hobby.
I think it's cool because you get to see new products before Aquarius get them, and new fish and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is fun to see the new stuff, although sometimes when you see the new things, it's so new that it's literally just a prototype that gets shown off because they're trying to see if there's a demand for the product. So there's definitely some really cool things that I've seen that have never come to market and probably will never come to market.
That's true. So what is the story and history behind School of Fish, Inc.?
So School of Fish opened in 2010, pretty much at a time where I had moved back into the area, and James Tropical Fish was preparing to close its doors. So I took the opportunity to open my own store, signed a lease in the same spot that my grandparents had had a store since the 60s, and that was about 8.5 years ago.
You've been doing a great job with School of Fish, Inc., carrying the largest supply of aquarium supplies and some exotic tropical fish.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So recently, this month, you just moved inside the Eastfield Mall. So when did you decide it was time to move to a new location and why?
Well, pretty much the move to Eastfield Mall was not super expected. I wasn't looking and searching for a new spot to go into. We installed an aquarium here in the mall in an office and just kind of ran into the mall manager. They had some spots opening and they were very interested in having us move in. And it came the opportunity to have a bigger space, better parking, and have a new clean layout, and it just ended up being something I couldn't say no to.
Yeah, it sounds like a good place. It looks awesome in here, by the way.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the overall open feel that it has, the organization of it, the flexibility of everything in here, and the ability to really expand certain aspects of our livestock selection.
So has the outcome and the overall experience been positive?
Extremely positive. A lot of our longtime regular customers have come in, and the average reaction has been, wow, I can see why you wanted to move here. This place looks awesome. I'd say, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. The responses have been very good. The exposure to people who have really never seen a nice home aquarium has been very good, too. You know, it's going to give us an ability to really expand aquarium hobbyists, you know, getting more people into the hobby in a good, properly advised way, so that they're going to be successful and stay in the hobby, not be a one tank and done.
That's a good discussion there. So this is only the beginning. You still have a lot more tanks and stuff to add, right?
We have several more tanks that we want to add just in phase one. Phase two, which we'll wait a little while to do, would add even more capacity, possibly some aquaculturing capacity to it. But once phase one gets done, we'll probably wait at least like 6 months to kind of feel out what areas need more space and room and adjust from there. But we have plenty of room and space to expand and still maintain our open feel to it.
Now, I noticed you set up a decorative tank over there. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, that's something I've wanted to have space for a long time, but in the old location, never could justify a set location for it. So what it is, it's a low-boy aquarium by ZooMed. So it's a 48 by 24 aquarium that's really shallow, and we put some gravel in there. And one thing that hobbyists have a hard time doing is picturing how they're going to decorate or aquascape their tank. So we set this up so that people can put their different rock work in it, decorations. Once we get it all finished, it'll be mapped out as far as sizes go. So if you have a 29-gallon tank, you'll know, okay, this is the length I have, the width I have, the height I have, and you'll be able to put all your decorations into that tank and get an idea how they're going to look once you take them home. because the hardest thing for somebody who hasn't done it dozens of times is aquascaping well the first time you buy rock or decorations or anything like that. So I think this will be fun for people to play with. Definitely be fun for me to see what different stuff people come up with for how their tank looks. And I'm hoping people enjoy the ability to do it.
I think it's a great idea, and you're going to get more customers that way, because I know kids are going to love coming in here to play with this, with the decorations.
Well, I hope it's more adults rather than kids. Adults are more careful.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want any broken glass in here.
No.
So, personally speaking, why would you recommend aquarists to come to School of Fish?
Well, I think it's important for somebody who's looking to get into the aquarium hobby or is in the aquarium hobby, goes to some place that really specializes in aquatics and has a staff that is involved as hobbyists as well, because you're going to get an honest answer. If something is likely to succeed or not, you know, we're not going to give you advice that's a 50-50 shot or even a 60-40 shot for success. We want, when we give advice, it to be something where if you're not successful with it, it's because it's a fluke. And I've been doing this a long time. I've seen crazy, unexpected stuff happen. I've seen neons that kill fish, swordtails that kill bigger tetras, you name it. I've seen the outlier of every situation. But we're going to give you recommendations so that you can be very successful with the most minimum risk involved. Now, we are talking about living animals. They all behave individually. So nothing is absolute. I've seen killer goldfish. it can happen, but the vast majority of time it does not.
That is true. And I can honestly say that School of Fish is the right place to come if you are a new aquarist, because Dave has a lot of experience. And I've known him for 20 years or so, and he's helped me out tremendously, and also my father as well. So, do you have any plans for like a big grand opening or anything?
We do have plans to do a nice, good-sized grand opening sale. I haven't quite set the exact date. I'm working with a couple manufacturers to offer some pretty cool deals and incentives. One thing that we're working on lining up is doing, and we haven't done it in several years, but a free filter exchange. So during our grand opening, you'll be able to bring in any hang-on filter, working or not, and exchange it for a free Aquion hang-on filter of similar size. There will be some restrictions involved in it. You cannot exchange an Aquion for an Aquion. It has to be a different brand hang-on tank that you can then exchange for a completely free Aquion hang-on filter. And those Aquion filters are self-priming. They have a lifetime guarantee. They're a nice hang-on filter. So during our grand opening event, we'll do a free filter exchange. But stay tuned for other limitations and restrictions as those get worked out.
And they'll be posted on the School of Fish Inc. Facebook page, right?
Absolutely. We'll do our Facebook page. We have a loyalty rewards club that people text into. So there'll be info coming out on that. But our Facebook page will definitely have a lot of info.
So now it's definitely clear that you're the largest aquatic store in Western Mass.
I believe so. I don't know of anybody that is strictly aquatic that comes near to our square footage.
And I believe you're also the only place that takes trade-in, so if fish keepers have fish they need to home, you're the only store that they can bring it to for credit.
Well, I can't speak for other stores, but I know that we do accept trade-ins, rescues, depending upon what it is. It can be just a surrender based upon what we have for tank space, the fish, the condition of the fish. It really, how the trade-in goes is a case-by-case basis. But there's a lot of people that, as this hobby goes, you start to get different interests than maybe when you first bought fish, you know, 5 years ago, and you want to do something different in your tank, but you're a good aquarist, so you're keeping your fish alive and healthy. So we do provide that opportunity for you to come in, trade in or surrender your fish so that you know they're going to go to a good and healthy home, and you know, restart your tank in a different style that you're now more interested in having.
Very well said. So where can people find the New School of Fish?
So we are located inside the Eastfield Mall, which is at 1655 Boston Road in Springfield, Massachusetts, the zip code 01129. Inside the mall, we're directly across from the Rave Cinemas. Probably the best two entrances to get close to us are through the Rave Cinemas or through the main food court entrance. Also, good thing to note here in this location, one of the things that we wanted to make sure we could do, because as a aquarium store that we sell a lot of tanks, we sell a lot of salt, gravel, live sand, we sell a lot of heavy things. And I know that people don't necessarily want to bring heavy things through the mall. So we actually have a back loading door with a doorbell so that when you come in and you make your purchase, whatever it is, if it's bulky enough, heavy enough, or you just don't feel like walking around through the mall with it, you can come in, make your purchase, let us know that you want to pick it up at the back door. And then once you're done doing all your mall shopping or, you know, going out to dinner in the mall, watching a movie, what have you, swing around, push the receiving doorbell, give us a minute to walk back there. It's a big store, and the door's all the way in the back. And we will load you up with your heavier supplies. We also sell RO water, or rather RODI water, as well as mixed RODI water. All those things can be picked up at the back door after they're paid for at the register. We do ask that you come in to the store initially through one of the mall entrances and then swing around to pick up your goods, as there's not a lot of parking in the back pickup area. And there's also other deliveries that happen through there, so we can cycle people in and out as quick as possible. It's really better for everyone.
Very well said. Do you have any closing remarks?
I hope you come in and check out our new location. We're very happy to be here. We're happy to answer questions all day long about anything that you need. We stock a lot of supplies on hand. We can special order just about anything. I do take special order requests on livestock, both freshwater and marine. And we're happy to be here. We're happy to talk to people about aquariums all the time. It's what everybody that's here is involved in the aquarium hobby and is happy to share their knowledge that they have.
Thank you very much for allowing me to broadcast here at School of Fish today. It's been an honor.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome. And that is our on-location broadcast here at School of Fish. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Coming to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, starting May 25th, is the Aqua Alex Aquatic Q&A, open forum, where all aquarium hobbyist questions will be answered. Aqua Alex will share his passion, love, experience, and knowledge of the aquarium hobby as he answers your questions to the best of his ability. Any and all tropical fish keeping questions will be answered, whether it's freshwater or saltwater aquarium related questions, they'll all be answered. It is now time to submit your questions. All questions submitted will be answered on the Aqua Alex Aquatic Q&A open forum podcast episode. That's right, every single question I receive, I'm going to answer in person on the Aqua Alex Aquatic Q&A open forum. You can submit a written or typed question or a spoken voicemail question. Here is how to submit a text question. Message Aqua Alex on Facebook with your question. My account on Facebook is Alex Cardinelli. Message Alex Cardinelli on Facebook with your question, or email your question to alexgoyankeescardinelli19@gmail.com. How to submit a spoken audio question? Dial 413-285-2112 and leave a voicemail. In the voicemail, please state your name, where you're from, and of course, your question. Again, message Alex Cardinelli on Facebook, alexgoyankeescardinelli19@gmail.com, or dial 413-285-2112. I look forward to answering your questions. Start submitting now!
Ikari offers a wide selection of aquatic diets to help you and your fishy friend find success. With more than 137 years of aquatic experience, Ikari was the originator of species-specific diets long before others thought it was important or trendy, and the first to bring unique products to fish keepers like algae wakers, the world's first diet specifically formulated for Picosinus, micropellets, the world's first micro-coated aquatic diet for tropical fish, Saki Ikari, the world's first probiotic-enhanced diet for koi, goldfish, cichlid, and now turtles, and BioPure, the world's cleanest and most nutrition-packed frozen and freeze-dried foods, industry trendsetters when they were first introduced. When you're looking for the best aquatic diets your hard-earned money can buy for your aquatic pets, look no further than Ikari. Your fish and your wallet will be forever grateful.
Aquaplenish provides Aquarius with a whole new point of view on water changes. Make your aquarium water changes easier with an Aquaplenish electronic water changer. The innovative Aquaplenish water changer pre-treats water, monitors temperature, and replenishes your aquarium water with a push of a button. It also provides a power boost to your siphon gravel vacuum. 100% pre-treat, monitor, and replenish your aquarium with the push of a button. Pre-treated water provides the best quality water to replenish aquariums. The Aquaplenish water changer is the first retail product that provides an easy solution to pre-treat new aquarium water. For more information, visit www.aquaplenish.com. Purchase one at a special discounted price. Get $20 off an Aquaplenish electronic water change system by using the discount code AQUAALEX2018. Aquaplenish.com. Go get yours today.
You have been listening to Aqua Alex on the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Come swimming back to the next episode for more tropical fish chat and information on keeping your fish happy and healthy. Check out Aqua Alex on the following social media platforms: Facebook under the name Alex Cardinale, Twitter at Alex Cardinale 1, YouTube channel Exotic Monster Fish Keeper 1993, and Instagram The Real Alex Cardinale.
Joining me for the first episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2019. Please invite your friends and your family and other fish keepers you know to check out this show. I would love to meet new fish keepers, and I would love to discuss tropical fish with new fish keepers. With that being said, have a great rest of your day, and thank you so much for listening to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. This is Aqua Alex saying good night, and thank you for your listen.